This is Dave Hodges. I want to thank you for joining us here on the Common Sense Show today. And, you know, we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Just wanted to say a couple things about today's show before we get started. I'm going to be interviewing Mike Kerr. And Mike is the co-founder, co-leader with his wife, Jeannie, of Hear the Watchman. Now, you know, I'm a committed Christian. And you also know that I speak to Hear the Watchman quite often. I participate in their Zoom conferences for worship. I've gone to their live conferences around the country and presented, and I very much believe in what they do. They bring souls to Christ. They are saving people permanently. But also, too, they're a voice for good in the world today. No 501c3 here. They tell the truth every single day. And sometimes a great risk to themselves. Well, I'm bringing them on today, one, to bring awareness to their organization, to bring more people to the flock because they do such good, Christian good. But also, too, they're in need of some funds. And you don't have to write the check for $100, $500, $1,000. Anything you can afford to give is really good. We need to help keep this ministry alive. And this show was my idea. Mike Kerr did not beg his way on here to ask for money. I said, Mike, let me bring the show's information and knowledge and what they do for people to the public's attention. And then people will reach down in their wallet and they'll give what they can afford to give, whether it's $5, $20, whatever it would be. We ask people to give. Don't give until it hurts. Give what you can afford to give. But this is something I really believe in. And I don't do this very often, so obviously I believe in this cause wholeheartedly. And also, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you because our podcast is just kicking butt and taking names. And we are right now in the top one half of 1% of 3 million podcasts that are rated by organizations like Listen Notes. And people are really taking note. So we're doing good. We're bringing not only awareness of what we need to do to save our country, but mostly I think we're doing awareness and good for what we can do to save our souls. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios, and I am a proud advertiser of Noble Gold, but I should mention that I am also a customer. You say, really? Yeah. And what can they do for you? Well, under the Dodd-Frank law of 2010, did you know that they can take your money in the bank and keep it? They can take your retirement affiliated with their bank and keep it. It's 1929 with no protection. You're an unsecured creditor. The Federal Reserve has 0.7% of the money on hand they need to back up bank accounts. So let me help you get money separate from bank control. We can save on the bank account side, but mostly they really specialize in retirement conversions that you control and are backed by gold, which held its value, has held its value for over 6,000 years. Don't let the bank steal from you like they did my mom's family during the Depression. Don't let them do that to you. Let me send you a free information packet. You can look it over yourself. They will not pressure you. You have to close deals with Noble Gold. They don't close them for you. And let me send that information to you with their phone number so you can get started now. But if CBDC comes in and cements everything, this offer will not be available. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com. Quick disclaimer, FTC wants you to know every investment carries an inherent risk and past performance is not indicative of future performance. We agree with that warning, but I will tell you there's a reason why I've been a customer of Noble Gold for over 5 years. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and now let's go to our show with Mike Kerr. We're here. We're glad to be with you. And we have Mike Kerr with us from Hear the Watchman, a group that I've been affiliated with for some time. And we'll be getting into a little bit about what they are. But Mike and I wanted to talk about, broadly speaking, there's a plethora of things being thrown at us in America today, and particularly if you're a Christian. And so it's interesting that Mike would choose to talk about this topic. Because just this morning, and I'm looking at my daily fact sheet here, I've already covered what people said they would do if they were president for a day. Kind of fits into this category. A little later, I'm going to be doing what I think are the top issues of the day to see how it fits with your list. But people really had a sense of urgency saying, these are things we're facing. And I counted 57 different things that my audience listed that if they were president for a day, what they would do, all worthy, all well thought out. And Mike's going to be talking about some of these things here. So, Mike, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're back. And by the way, folks, before we depart today, you're going to get a chance to be a part of Hear the Watchman, which is a Christian-based, patriotic-based, fellowship-based approach to eternal salvation. But also, too, we're looking to improve things in the short term, too. So, Mike, there's a heck of a lot going on out there right now. What's really grabbing your attention?
Well, you know, Dave, there is, and that's why I appreciate you and your show for breaking some of the things from someone that I can trust. Folks, there's like so many outlets out there as Christians that we face. You know, Dave, I posted something on my Facebook page the other day that had a huge response. And I said, I don't care what their plan is. I don't care what the Fed's plan is. I care what God's plan is. Now, in saying that, I also went on to say, it's not that I don't care. I do care, and I want to know the information, and I want to follow it. But inevitably, everything that we do and everything that we follow and our responsibility as Christians is to follow God's plan, which is laid out in the Bible. And that's where I stand today. It's I love Steve Quayle's site, yours, Mike Adams' site, because it's got valid information that I can look at and be aware of, you know. But at the end of the day, I have to go to Jesus and say, what do you want me to do? Because that's about it, is I'm responsible to do what the Lord asks of me to do.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, Hear the Watchman is completely non-denominational. You know, I have people say, are you Pentecostal? I don't talk about my faith other than to say I'm a Christian, and all of you are welcome. We do, which you have graciously been a guest on, we do three Zoom fellowships a week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Central. It's free. We reach about 200 people a week on there. We have speakers and questions and answers. So anybody can be a part of Hear the Watchman. And we love current breaking intel so that we can base our decisions and what we pray for on fact and not the fiction that we find in mainstream media.
Well, I got bad news. There's fiction and alternative media, too. And yeah. In fact, one of the things I was talking to my friend Ted Brewer about recently, Doug Hagman, same thing, too. We both see it. And so we've closed ranks to where we only trust. We are open to everybody, but we only trust and share information with people that we absolutely know are on the right side. And I've had to narrow my focus on people I do trust for that reason.
Well, you know, Steve Quayle has been at this probably the longest of any of us. And man, has he been attacked over time. Mike Adams, the same way. You, the same way. But, you know, the problem is that a lot of these guys that have jumped into the pool here, they sell fear. And fear sells very easily. People are very susceptible to it. So the reason that you want to be discerning and you want to go to at Steve Quayle's site, your site, Mike Adams' site, Jamie Walden is another guy that's got just, you know, spot on information for you so that you're not being abused by someone that's in it for the money.
Jamie is someone who is on my trusted list.
Yeah. Jamie's a good person to have on your trust list.
Well, he's pretty close with Doug Hagman, one of my broadcast partners, and we do a show called the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And Doug and Jamie are pretty close, and that's a very good nomination. But I've known Jamie for years. In fact, at Hear the Watchman, he and I have shared the stage together. You have the ability to attract a lot of good people. I have to say that Jamie is certainly one of them.
Well, you know, Dave, It's funny, I was thinking about this driving into the studio this morning, is I mean, I can't believe that we started Hear the Watchman in 2015. And our first conference was in Dallas, Texas, in the same, or Grapevine, Texas, which we'll be back at this April. And there were like 1,000 people at that one. And then we've done them all over the country. And it's just amazing to see what's happened. We went through the COVID thing when everybody became stuck on their computer, transfixed to video. And now I believe that the remnant body is slowly coming out of that and getting back into the real need to fellowship together, which is what we try to provide, you know. And we've baptized over 1,000 people at our conferences. We've had, you know, I was just communicating with this couple that in Knoxville, Tennessee, this kid came up to me and gave me a wedding ring and said, "I'm going to ask my girlfriend to marry me at this conference." And I looked at him and I said, "Okay." He goes, "Can I do it on the stage?" I said, "Is she going to say yes?" And he says, "I'm pretty sure."
You ever been at one of those games or seen them on TV where the guy proposes and she runs off?
He runs off, We don't need that. Yeah, we have enough drama.
So you what happened? Don't keep us in suspense. What happened? Yeah.
So she said yes. They were baptized together by Pastor Bradley. And today, two beautiful kids. And it's amazing. Those are the good things that I love seeing out of Hear the Watchman that happen when people gather together. No promise that you're going to get married at a Hear the Watchman, but who knows?
Yeah, well, I got bad news for people. I'm sorry, I'm already married. and happily so. Anyway, I got to say this, though. You know what the other side would say? Wait a minute. Marriage? They want to join this outdated institution, and now they just produced two more violators of carbon footprint. That's how the left would look at this.
Well, you know, I mean, in the United States, we have to have so many different licenses. I'm not real keen on the marriage license thing, to be honest with you, Dave. I mean, you know, why do I need a license to get married?
You shouldn't. But it's a civil contract because of property. That's
exactly.
Why.
Exactly. And not only that, but now... But now the government's a part of your marriage, too, in my opinion, you know. But, yeah, it's a necessary evil in our society. But, you know, we talk about that a lot. It's this overbearing government involvement in everything we do, you know, that drives me nuts. And we try to address that in a biblical Christian way. At all our conferences, on our Zoom fellowships, we do our best to do that, you know, and that's why Hear the Watchman has been so important to Jeannie and I. Now people look at it and say, "Well, you guys must make a lot of money doing this stuff, putting these conferences on."
No, that's not true.
No, at best we've broken even.
Yeah, that's it. I know.
Usually we lose money when we do these, and you know. We currently have a capital campaign going where we're trying to raise money to get us through this next year. We're about $150,000 in the hole out of our own pocket. And you know what's funny? I was sitting down going over the books. We raised over $100,000 for Russ Dizdar's family when he passed. Mm. We raised about $80,000 for Josh Peck and Christina Peck when their son became sick and had to go to Children's Hospital. We were paying for their hotel rooms. We were doing everything we could. Hear the Watchman was. L.A. Marzulli, we helped him out when his house burned down. We were actually with him when he got news in Dallas that his house had burned to the ground and lost everything he had. And there's been others. But you know where I'm really... I don't do it well for Hear the Watchman. I am horrible at raising any money for Hear the Watchman. So we subsist and do the things we do as best we can based on the help of others, like you and your followers and your listeners. So I don't want to get into an infomercial other than to tell you that Dave will be with us in April, and Grapevine, Texas, along with Jamie Walden, Pastor Paul Bagley, Heidi Bagley, his wife, Michael Boldea, David Heavener, David Paxton, John Moore, and Casper McCall.
Oh, John Moore.
John Moore will be
I don't know if you know this or not. I'm a weekly guest on John Moore's show.
Oh, yeah. John Moore is a very interesting cat. I
love John Moore. Absolutely love him. I've known him for years. Yeah,
you get him into some Vietnam stories, which I'm a big Vietnam veteran supporter. You get some great stories. And then, of course, we have Dr. Michael Lake coming, which is
that's awesome. I love Michael Lake.
So
I get inspired when I hear him speak, like very few people can do. The thing I like about him, he would be a great football or basketball coach because he removes all the excuses for what you should be doing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He just takes his excuse and obliterates it. And the thing is I learned very early in my coaching career, before you can win, you have to eliminate excuses. And that's really, really true. Let me just say a word about Hear the Watchman here. The fellowship you have Tuesday through Thursday, you have a really good turnout. You've had some terrific guests. I got to tell you guys like to tune into shows to hear good guests. Mike and Jeannie Kerr, they get good guests on these weekly fellowships that are free, and you can link into them by Hear the Watchman. I'll have Mike tell you about that in a minute. But the conference was fantastic. I forget the one we had in Grapevine, the last one we had, Mike, how long ago was that?
Ugh.
Do you remember?
Mm-mm.
It all runs together, doesn't it?
It was, you know what? It was right before the shutdown, right before the COVID shutdown.
2021. Yeah. I think it was 2021. Yeah, I think it was.
Because I remember we had a bunch of masks there. And the hotel said, you have to have them there, but you don't have to make people wear them. And then we had another big one planned, which you were at in San Diego. And that was rough. That one was rough because California was the worst place to try and go to. Then COVID was just kind of, we were kind of just coming out of it, but people were still panicked about
Mike. I didn't wear my mask.
I hate to tell you this, but the only time I have worn any kind of a mask was at an airport or on an airplane. And even at the airport, I'd go in the restaurants and take it off. And I did not get jabbed. Everybody wants to know that. You know, it's my personal business. Why?
It is not anyone's business.
Yeah.
That's totally true. You know, Mike, one thing that concerns me, because you're at the forefront of Christian missionary work, you know, through contemporary current events issues. And that's the vehicle in which you, I think, bring God to the plate of a lot of people. But I'm growing more concerned by the day. And it started with Biden's speech in September of last year, when he said, if you're America first, MAGA, blah, 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 you are a domestic terrorist. But here's the characteristic of a lot of people that are America first. America first means First Amendment, freedom of religion, and most often the Christian religion. I took that as a direct threat against Christians in America. How do you view that?
I you know what? I definitely do. I'm right there with you. I am fortunate. I had this conversation with a guy the other day. I live in an area of the mountains in Idaho that's very remote and a very small town. And when I was having this conversation with one of my neighbors, which lives about a mile away from me, that's how close we are to each other. We'd had the conversation. He said, oh, well, in this town, we're all domestic terrorists because we're ranchers. Most of the people are ranchers, farmers, you know, hardworking American people that believe in, you know, God, country, and family in whatever order they do. I'm not going to tell them which ones they have to do it. As long as they have those three, we're good to go, you know. And we don't tolerate some of the nonsense up here that goes on around other parts of the country.
You and Jason Aldean, right? Try that in a small town.
Party B's not going to be coming into town to do a concert. I'll tell you that.
No, listen, I got to tell you, I'm actually heartened by the fact that many people in the rap industry, most of them black, came out and said, there's nothing racist about his song. I was really encouraged to see that.
Yeah.
No. And to those men who stepped forward to say those things, thank you.
Well, you know what? A lot of the rap artists get a bad rap because they play the gangster role and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But believe me, you can't be as successful as some of these rap artists are unless you're highly intelligent and you're good at business. Otherwise, you'll just be one of the flash in the pans. And those guys get it. They get it that song is not racist. You know, they understand it, you know. But, you know, the whole woke generation, which you and I could go down a rabbit hole on in a nanosecond, you know, seems to think that we need to accept everything that they do and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry, I don't. That's where I stand on that. I don't. So, you know, if you're the CMT or I don't drink, if you were Budweiser, you know what? I wouldn't buy your product. Or Ben and Jerry's. I love Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but I won't buy it anymore.
No, I won't either. Same reason. You know what? Ben and Jerry, give your land to Native Americans. Yeah. You know, it's like those without sin cast the first stone. Well, the inverse is true, too. It's ridiculous.
Where have we gone in this country? You know that in the 40s, men lied about their age so that they could get into the military and serve during World War II. In 2023, they lie about whether they're a man or a woman so they can compete in women's sports.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
What's happened?
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
But that's why you want to come to Hear the Watchman. You want to come so you're in a room with people who think the way you think, who don't look at you when you stand your ground. Yeah. And think you're like a domestic terrorist.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I remember one of my favorite guests you had at Hear the Watchman was Coach Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah.
Now, you remember, we're both coaches, so I have that affinity with him to begin with. But I really enjoy him. You want to talk about a take no prisoners guy? That's your guy.
Wait, I'll tell you a funny story about Coach Dave real quick. And it has a lot to do with why Hear the Watchman got started. Jeannie and I went to Steve Quayle's conference in Bozeman, Montana, the Whitestone Remnant. I didn't want to go. Jeannie drugged me up there, and I wanted to go fishing. That was it. I mean, hey, it's in Bozeman, Montana, tons of great fishing. She'll be tied up in a conference till 9 o'clock at night. I'm good to go. And so I got up there and I ended up, by happen chance, sitting at Steve Quayle's book table, selling books for him that I knew nothing about. And I got really intrigued. But what he was talking about to the people that would come to the table and what other people were talking about. So I never went fishing. What Coach Dave was at that, and he was, no, there was a Greg was speaking at that, and Coach Dave took some of his time. It was Greg Evison, and Greg was an amazing man.
Yes.
God bless him. And Coach took 20 minutes of his time. And I listened to Coach, and you know, you've seen how Coach is when he presents. But the thing that caught me and I couldn't get out of my head is he said the men need to get up out of their chairs and get out there and do something for Jesus. And I was like, you know what? He's right, you know. And he was sort of one of the igniting points of Hear the Watchman. And by the grace of God, I never went fishing. I ended up getting fish and actually baptized by Steve Quayle, which he may have had his moments when he regretted that.
Okay.
But we're
No,
good guys.
I'm not going to use that as an excuse for cheap humor here. But I don't know if you know this about Coach Dave. He came on my show once and he talked about how he actually found where Hillary Clinton lived and they organized a protest outside her house. Did you know that story?
No. Oh, I know he did a protest outside his house, outside her house. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny. It's interesting to have him tell the story. And if I ever am at a conference with him again, I'm going to ask him to talk about this again. Because here's the interesting thing. I didn't have the perspective to link an event. He told me this story on my show, and it was prior to Roe v. Wade. And then we know how the Supreme Court justices, I mean, attempted assassination of Kavanaugh, unchecked illegal protests against constitutional law. And it was just absolutely terrible by Merrick Garland. He should be impeached and thrown in jail for criminal negligence. But what's interesting is here, Dave, they came up, the police rolled up on him. He was very polite. And they took down every piece of information about him. And even he was on public property. They warned him, they threatened him. And yet our Supreme Court justices did not even get the same protection because they were on the wrong side of a political issue.
Yeah, Dave gets right in the thick of it. He's front line all the time, and he and I had like a long discussion about Hillary Clinton because, I'm like a huge supporter of veterans. Jeannie and I founded one of the largest charities in the country called Snowball Express that helps the widows and kids of fallen soldiers. And so I when everything happened with Hillary Clinton, and Dave and I really went on a tangent with this, with Benghazi, that I couldn't believe that this woman was not brought up on charges for what happened with Benghazi.
Which
And
part? The part where Chris
she was
Stevens repeatedly asked for more protection and she
Yeah,
blocked it?
she knew she had the ability to protect them, and she didn't do it.
I can tell you why they didn't.
Yeah,
I could tell you why. The reason
why?
why is because, and this is just a fact, Chris Stevens was running guns, drugs, and kids on behalf of the CIA. And it was too close to the election. They were afraid the Romney people would find it. And so they had him whacked. That's why.
I believe that.
That's
The
why.
bad thing is, Dave, with American politics today, there's not much I believe. In my opinion, and it's just my opinion, the Biden administration and the Obama administration has done more to damage and polarize this country than any other two men have ever done.
Yeah.
And it's
Well,
sad.
I have an answer for that. You're like my setup man today. I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and you keep setting me up for what I've done.
I have a
But
tendency to do that.
I will tell you this, your instincts on this are really good because I remember when Obama was doing all these things, the NDAA, snatch you off the street without due process, 13603, an executive order that would have taken over everything in a self-declared crisis. And I won't list all the things he did. But he was doing all these things, and I'm reporting on it. And most of the years were like 2010 to about 2014. He even showed the Chinese and Russians how to take down our grid, okay, through what we call Grid X 1, 2, and 3. So he did all these things, and I'm thinking, okay, but he's not acting on them. And then, ding, it hit me. During the campaign between Hillary and Donald Trump, it hit me. To use a baseball analogy, Barack Obama was the eighth inning setup pitcher to preserve the lead. Hillary Clinton was to come in and be the closer, the ninth inning closer, to use a baseball analogy. But something happened on the way, and it was called Donald Trump's upset victory. And now we're seeing with feeble Biden and his puppeteers behind the scenes, they're enacting a lot of the Obama stuff. So this was supposed to be an 8-year project to subdue America. And I believe things like CBDC, which is the control of everything using social credit with your bank account, I believe that this would have happened under Hillary, and it had to be delayed to Biden because Trump wouldn't touch it.
Oh, I right there with you. You know, and you talked about the whole central bank when you were on our Zoom show. That's on our Rumble channel now. You can all go there. Of course, I can't post it to YouTube. I can't post anything to YouTube anymore that has anything to do with anything political. They've been issuing me strikes from stuff I did 4 years ago, which when I look at the title of it, I realize, well, yeah, that was before I knew their method, you know, but it's amazing. And I know you go through that. So,
well, what they do, it's kind of interesting. If it were a government, and they're doing it on behalf of the government, so I think the rules should apply to them. But there's a little thing in the law called ex post facto, meaning something you did on Tuesday cannot be declared illegal on Wednesday, and then they go back and punish you for it. And that's what YouTube is doing with what you're describing. And if Google and YouTube didn't have collusion with the government for censorship, they'd have the right to do that because it's a private party. And they can eliminate whoever they want. But because they're in collusion with the government on censorship, they and every other, you know, the old Twitter, everything should come into play under this. And it's not. And this is the failure. The House of Representatives pretends we have all these investigations and they've revealed some important things about the Biden crime family, but they have done nothing. Nothing. All they do is throw poop up on the wall, run for re-election based on their investigations, and look what we're doing when they haven't really done a thing. And see, they could take action on Section 230 against all big tech for colluding with the government, and they could force them to pay damages to people they've censored, and I could go down this whole path, which I won't, but they're not doing it, and Congress could make them, and they're not.
It's a sad state of affairs.
We're being betrayed.
But again, that is why it's my opinion that you need to put God first and you need to be most concerned with what God's plan is. And to carry this message across the country, folks, Jeannie and I need your help if you can.
Yeah.
So visit hearthewatchmen.com and help us out if you can. Be blessed. Bless us. And let's keep the movement going.
Do you have a donation tab?
We do. It's right up in the upper left-hand corner.
Okay. So what is it titled? They look for what?
What is the title? What?
So the tab. Well, how do you label that?
It there's a donation. It just says donations up at the top.
That's pretty straightforward.
Right. That's through PayPal. There's also, you can go right to our GoFundMe page from the website. Everything is on the website, including being able to get tickets to come here, Dave, the first weekend in April in Grapevine, Texas.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't miss it. You know, I didn't hesitate when you asked me to come, and I didn't hesitate because I've seen the good it does. And I'll tell you, here's why I think we have limited time to do these things and why I think it's important we keep organizations like Hear the Watchman alive. Right now, we're pretty much free to worship as we see fit. However, if you take your freedom to redress grievances and mix it with your religion and stand in front of an abortion clinic and say a private prayer, the FBI will kick your door in. They will put guns to your kids' heads. And this is what they've done repeatedly to pastors across America. And this is signaling, as well as the MAGA speech from last year by Biden, that they're coming after Christians. And I really do believe this, Mike. I believe that Hear the Watchman, which is great for growth and for fellowship when we have these conferences, your Zoom conferences are great for growth and fellowship. Okay. But I believe that's all very soon going to be taken away from us if we allow things like CBDC to happen, and people will be forced, like they had to do in the Soviet Union, to go underground to worship. In other words, leave your electronic devices outside, because the Soviets didn't have to worry about that, but we do. Don't have any electronic that can be surveilled, and have close-knit people come over, and you take your Bible out of your hidden corner that you've covered with a fake wall, and then you worship. That's what I think we're coming to.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, as I always say, folks, I want you to think about people like Dave Hodges, Jamie Walden, Steve Quayle, and Mike Adams, some of the other ones out there that you follow. And remember, the word of God is free, absolutely, but the work is not. So yeah. Get in there and get involved and make a difference. That's what it's all about.
Besides donations, financial donations, there's also what you would call sweat equity. What do you have available for people here at the Watchman where they want to immerse themselves in a cause that lifts up God and helps America?
Oh, hey, there's all kinds of stuff that we can use help with. I mean, all you have to do is email me, and I'll even give you my email address. It's Kerr, KERR777@gmail.com.
Mike, hold on. You cut out for a second. The mic part cut out. Okay. I know it cut out because I know what your email address is. But it just, you came across as Kerr777, but it's Mike Kerr. 777 at Gmail.
There you go. That's it. And just, you know, get involved. Send me something. Tell me what your skill set is and get involved. And listen, if your skill set doesn't fit something here the Watchman needs, trust me, I know everything Jamie Walden needs at the Calico Buffalo Base Camp and some other people that could use your help. It's not always about cash, guys. It's about getting involved.
Exactly. Yeah, there's different kinds of contributions you can make that have some kind of value attached to them. And it doesn't Absolutely. Always have to be money, but I agree. We're ordered by the Lord to be in service to his mission. And some people have meager means of, well, I'm having trouble just getting to the end of the month. Okay, but you could contribute labor.
Sure. Yes. I mean, I'll tell you right out of the gate, if anybody's listening to this, I would love someone to handle some of my social media stuff, if that's your boat and you can do that. You know, there's something you might be able to help with. I think that so often when people go to things like Hear the Watchman or Mike Spaulding's conference, which is this upcoming weekend, They think it's all about money. I don't know why. I mean, but they think it's all about money. You know, if you ask me, why, Mike, do you do this? My answer is I have no choice because God asked me to gather his people. And I'm not, you know what? He didn't say, I can't go back to Jesus and say, well, yeah, but, you know, you just have to do it.
Remember what I said about Coach Dave? The way you win is to eliminate all excuses. Well, that ultimately comes from the Lord. He don't want to hear the excuses. He wants to see results.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We can always have excuses. It's too hot to go to church. I'm too tired to worship today. I'm too tired to go to the Salvation Army and pass out whatever at Christmas. There's always an excuse we can fall back on. But and I'll say this too, very bluntly. There's a reason why we had America in the 50s the way we did and why we have America today, 80 years later, like we do. And what's missing is God. They took it out of the schools. And look at the perversion that's invaded. Talking to first graders about oral sex. Okay. Teaching kids that are black and white. One of you is an aggressive criminal. Another one's a victim. Well, what if they're not? What if they just want to be friends and go out to the playground? But that's not what they're being taught. They're being taught to be divisive, to hate each other based on demographics. Our schools are an absolute stinking mess. Not all schools. There's actually some schools in Colorado that I visited, Mike. In the rural schools, they say prayers before and after their athletic events, before their public gatherings. And they make no mistake, we're here. It's like when Jason wrote that song about don't try this in a small town, that fits these communities. But if you go to Denver, the Denver area where I grew up, you'd think you walked in through the gates of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. A conference really needs to be held in Denver. I wish, you know, you never hear that because Denver's such a, it's become such a hellhole of liberalism.
It is. It's a people, you know, we've looked at Denver. People don't want to go there. And it's extremely expensive.
That's true.
To do it. You know, same thing with like Nashville. Beautiful location, but it's just very liberal and it's become very expensive. And that's sad, but it is the way it goes. And, you know, when you think about the schools in America today, the problem, in my opinion, again, which everybody's got one, in my opinion, the problem is that we have, over the course of time, indoctrinated any teacher into the woke liberal views, and that's what you end up with teaching your kids in school. They're teaching your kids in school, which is why homeschooling is so important these days.
Yeah, that's true. Let me destroy a myth about homeschooling. I hear this from people I bring it up to. Well, people have to work and there's just no supervision for the kids. Excuse me. There are homeschool associations that actually primarily in some cases deal with single moms, both working parents, and they work it out to where the kids are still well educated and the family doesn't have to worry about who's watching the kids. Those resources are available, Mike.
Yeah.
And there's a big misconception because right now, my son was a public school graduate. And I stayed on after retirement. And I taught three college classes on that campus. And then I'd go do my regular thing. And I did that while my son was in high school. His high school, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole today. And he only graduated 4.5 years ago. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And I wouldn't even walk through the doors. And I have friends on that campus. I'll see them away from there, but I won't go there because they're embracing all this woke nonsense. And people need to know that, as my dad used to say, excuse the old Navy expression, if you roll an excrement, cleaned up for audio and TV, if you roll an excrement, you start to stink. And my dad was trying to warn me when I was a kid about who you hang out with matters. And it's true. If you let your kids go to schools where they're teaching this radical non-Christian ideology, how can you expect to send a kid to Rome for 13 years and not produce a Roman?
No, it's you know, since we're quoting our dads, my dad's line was, you can soar with the eagles or roll with the pigs, but you can't do both.
I like that. It's a good saying. I like that.
So anyway, yeah, it's, you know, I pray every day.
Yeah, I really do. I'm with you. Mike, let me ask you a question here about prophecy. I'm going to tell you my view, then feel free to get your axe out and chop this view down, okay? Okay, listen, I'm not blind to the fact that we have all the signs of pre-tribulation. I am not blind to that at all. I've talked about it openly. But I also believe that if we could wake enough people up and America would get on bended knee, God might push this tribulation back to a far later generation. Do you think that's possible?
I absolutely do. And you know, Dave, I don't get into the trib wars. I refuse to get sucked into them.
Thank you.
You know, because what I believe is, if I wake up every morning, or you wake up every morning and say, what can I do to serve Jesus today? That's what you need to do, because you have no control over tomorrow and none over yesterday. You know, I mean, It's that old saying, you know, yesterday's a canceled check, tomorrow's a promissory note, today's cash on the barrelhead.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you have to work with. You know, so
you know what I get told a lot, Mike? I get told this, though. I get told it's written in the Bible. I said, really? Was the year 2023 on that? That's what I asked them back. I just said, well, they have this. There's, you can't change things through elections because they're all corrupt. True. I've written a lot about it. Back when I came to San Diego and spoke to Hear the Watchman, I talked about that. I agree with all the things that are wrong. We're teaching unbridled perversion. We'd make like the legend of the lost continent of Atlantis look like they were stoic and wonderful. Because as perverse as we are, really, Sodom and Gomorrah, the United States of Sodom and Gomorrah, I agree with all that. However, they leave out one thing, Mike. If we were on bended knee and God took favor upon us, there's nothing that can't be turned around.
No, there absolutely isn't. You know, and that's the thing. Miracles happen.
Yes.
You know, miracles happen. You know, and unfortunately, that's the state we're at, in my opinion, in the U.S., is that we need a miracle. So, you know, how, and people say, well, how do we get a miracle? Will someone create a new drug? And I'm like, no, only God can truly perform miracles. So go to God. I mean, what's it
going to mentioned hurt? Steve Quayle. He told me once he thought national survival is impossible, but individual salvation is still on the table. I agree with Steve's second part of his statement. I would agree with Steve that it looks bleak on the first part of his statement, but I don't discount God from doing anything. But we have to be worthy of having judgment lifted off of us.
Yeah. And we're not right now.
No. So, all we have to do is look at what we're exposing. Yeah, let me give you another example. Okay, I've seen the movie Sound of Freedom. There's nothing in there that's not based on fact. They showed live child abductions on the show on street video. Live. Can't take it away. Can't deny it. Okay? And so what are we seeing in the mainstream media? We are seeing, oh, they're lying. They made all this up. Wait a minute. They talked about two children that this DHS agent, Tim Ballard, absolutely rescued. We know who they are, but they're lying. And not only that, in social media now, if you even give a movie review, you run the risk of having your channel taken away from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I see this morning on social media and some of the mainstream stuff that The Sound of Freedom is now number 3 in the box office.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, it's been hit by Mission Impossible, I guess, and Oppenheimer and all that stuff. And it is amazing that The Sound of Freedom has done so well. But there's also a risk there that there are people out there right now who are totally into how much it made and where it stands on the charts, so to speak, and they're forgetting the message of what the movie is really about, you know. And if you haven't seen The Sound of Freedom, I highly suggest you see it with an open mind. Go and see it and learn, because as Dave said, it's based on fact.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I know that at the end of the movie, Jim Caviezel, the main actor, comes on, and one of the things he said to the audience, it took 5 years to overcome the obstacles to get this movie out. Why is it they don't want the movie out? Could it be that members of our government, like having open borders, is protecting the industry of child sex trafficking? I believe that to be true. Is it that the child sex trafficking has permeated virtually every level of government? So your groups fall into 3 categories. 1, they're part of it. 2, they're covering for people who are part of it. Or 3, they're too afraid to stand up and be a man and speak out against it.
Yeah.
By the way, in Arizona, my state, we have those 3 categories of politicians.
Yeah.
Sodom and Gomorrah lives in Maricopa County, where I live.
Yeah, I know that for a fact.
I can tell you. If I covered nothing else other than what happens in Maricopa County, okay, the rest of the nation would say, thank you, I understand my community better, because evil permeates from Maricopa County. I mean, we're controlled by the Chinese, by cartel money laundering operations. I could just go on and on and on with this. Our Secretary of State, Mike, you'll like this one. You'll love this example. His name is Adrian Fontes. He got booted out of the Maricopa County Clerk and Recorder for Elections because people didn't trust that he was being honest and conducting fair elections. So both out the door. And he magically wins in a very controversial election. See, everyone knows about Katie Hobbs and Kerry Lake. Well, he won in the same way. And 60% of the voting machines in heavy Republican areas in Maricopa County went down upon opening, and he's in. Guess what his claim to fame was early in his lawyer career? You remember Fast and Furious? Agent Brian Terry, who was murdered by guns provided by Eric Holder, the attorney general, to cartels south of the border. And they murdered Brian Terry, Border Patrol agent. Adrian Fontes was the attorney of record to defend those cartel members. Now, that may not be illegal, but doesn't that speak to judgment?
Yeah.
And this guy is serving as the number two person in state government. And by the way, there's a report out there put together by a guy that did 30 years of RICO investigations, some of it for the DOJ. His name's John Thaler. He wrote something that's being loosely referred to now as the Brigham Report. It names our governor here in Arizona as having taken $500,000 of Sinaloa money based on fake real estate deals. Oh, see, Mike, I'm just saying, I live in the county of Sodom and Gomorrah.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I do. Arizona, conservative Arizona, when I moved here, you knew you were in Arizona when you're driving down the only freeway they had and you're getting tailgated by a guy in a pickup truck that has chip paint and he has an Easy Rider rifle rack in the back and he's chewing tobacco. Okay. And don't mess with me, government. That was the Arizona I moved to in 1985. And now, yeah, I'd still say about 70% of the people are conservative. Well, we're being run by liberal communists who have a satanic background. That's my personal belief. Satan permeates this.
Well, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah, it is. I know you address the current issues, though, in your Zoom fellowships, don't you?
What's that?
When you run your Zoom fellowships Tuesday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Central, you actually deal with these issues.
Yeah, we actually deal with them. On those Zoom fellowships, what my goal is to get people like you and other warriors that are out front, be it on factual stuff or be it on the Bible, whatever it is. And then we allow, you know, time permitting for them to ask some questions. We don't record the question and answer period so that people feel free. But you know, it takes a lot of work to do three Zoom fellowships a week. And you know, it's funny, you were talking earlier. And so I'm going to tell on myself. There are times I look at my wife, Jeannie, and I say, I can't do this anymore, man. Three nights a week, I don't get home until 9 o'clock. I got to eat dinner and all that. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. But I can't not do it anymore. You know, because that is what God has asked of me.
I know. I hear you. I hear you exactly.
It's a wonderful platform for people to come and learn.
Yeah, I really want to emphasize that. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, you've heard us say this a couple of times, but it's true. They need your donations. They need your help to keep the ministry alive. And it's something that really combines, you know, loyalty to community, to country, to family, to God. It combines all those elements under the umbrella of God, and they do a tremendous job. Mike, we've got to close here, but go ahead, give out your website again to where people can go and make donations or volunteer labor to help you.
Sure. Just go to hearthewatchman.com. You can subscribe there on the channel, and that'll get you invites to all the meetings each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. There you can get tickets for the conference in April. You know, don't procrastinate, get yourself dialed in. And by the way, that conference happens to coincide with the weekend of the total eclipse of the sun.
Oh, how interesting is that? Yeah. I'm sure the devil worshipers will be out in force. But anyway, Mike, we got to run here. We're out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on. And we're going to bring you back because before we get closer to that conference, we'll get the word out again. But hey, Mike, thanks so much for what you do for humanity, for America, for fellow Christians and those that want to become Christians but don't yet know it. So thank you very much for doing all that. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Mike Kerr of Hear the Watchman. And please support him. Support the organization. It really helps improve life for the rest of us. We'll see you back here next time. On behalf of myself and my guest, Mike Kerr, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next show.